It looks like any other historic hotel. Warm lights in the windows, laughter from the bar, a place where travelers pause before moving on. But the Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota, doesn't let everything move on. The rooms remember. The halls breathe. The Palmer House has stood through fires, heartbreak, laughter, and loss, and somehow, it's still holding on to it all. Tonight, we sit down with the one person who knows her best, Kelly Fries, because for her, this isn't just a haunted hotel. It's home. I'm Dave Schrader. This is the Paranormal 360, and joining me on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, the owner of the Palmer House Hotel, Kelly Fries. Kelly, thanks for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me, Dave.
Well, obviously, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Palmer House. 19 years running, I've been coming and visiting and spending time and doing live events. As a matter of fact, this weekend, we just wrapped up a huge event with Dalen Spratt from the Ghost Brothers TV show, psychic medium Diet Renee. And again, it did not let us down. What an amazing location. But you didn't buy this site because of its haunted reputation, correct?
No, not at all.
Did you even know it was reportedly haunted when you bought it?
No, I had not heard any of those rumors or folklore associated with it. I had no idea.
But did the previous owners realize that it was haunted and just not tell you?
After being there a few years, I started learning that about previous owners. But in the beginning, it was something they denied and refused to talk about.
Really? Do you think you would have purchased the Palmer House had you known its haunted history?
I don't think it would have influenced our decision to buy it. It was more for the historical reasons that we, you know, wanted to see it preserved after hearing rumors about thinking it would be better off being tore down and become more parking for downtown. So I don't think the paranormal aspect would have influenced me one way or another.
All right. So that wouldn't have spooked you off, but you take possession of this building and you've owned it for how long now?
I'm on year 24.
Wow. 24 years. And as I understand it, you're the longest running owner of the Palmer House. Is that right?
Yes, the next in the running is 19 years.
Oh, okay. So you've really passed the brink there with the Palmer House. How soon after moving in did you start to notice that maybe you weren't alone, even when there was no one else in that building?
It was actually a while that, you know, it just too much of the things that we maybe call coincidence or forgetfulness, that we put something somewhere and it wasn't there. And then it was again. But with the frequency of just little things like that, they culminated into bigger things. So it was actually several months before I started paying attention.
So you noticed weird things, but you were just putting it off to, oh, I must have set those there, or I must have done something wrong. You were making all the perfect excuses, as many people do that first buy their haunted property.
Oh yeah, you dismiss it. You think it's yourself, and that's what makes it so fun about the Palmer House. She has a tendency to play that way a lot.
Now, what was the first profound moment you had that you realized, oh, this isn't just my mistaken placing something somewhere, or, you know, it wasn't just a shadow play of light in the corner of my eye. Holy cow, this place is haunted. What was that moment for you?
You know, I wished I could remember it as a clear memory, and I don't. However, at the time we bought it, it had been closed. So we worked in it for many, many months before we reopened it. And my dad and I were the two that did the bulk of working in there. And it was as he and I started talking about, but what about this? Or did you do this? Or did you do that? Things started coming together. And at one point when I had to call in a contractor to do some work, come to find out he had been the general contractor on the remodel that had happened in 1993. And he shared stories with me about how all of the different subcontractors would be there working all day and lock up the place and go home at night and come back the next morning and have their tools dispersed all over the building. So that became pretty compelling.
Now, you said your father helped you work there, and we hear a lot of rumors that when you start refurbishing a place, remodeling, doing things, that it seems to kick up the activity. Did your dad ever relate to you anything strange going on that he thought might be part of a haunting?
Oh, yeah. He did. Those weren't the words he used, but it was, it was, you know, very much about, this is really strange. This is very odd. And again, you know, questioning one another if we had moved things or left lights on or locked doors or, yeah, we eventually put it all together.
Now, you've also got a lot of weird little things, but almost kind of charming and endearing, right? Like you're working in a bedroom fixing it, and all of a sudden your maid cart starts just rolling down the hall by itself.
I guess that's happened on many occasions, actually.
You also have a big Scooby-Doo stuffed character who would suddenly appear outside the room you were cleaning, right? I mean, you knew you had the stuffed animal, but he was in what you call the kids' room, but you'd come out and he would be standing in front of the door you were cleaning or down the hall or something menacing, but with that goofy Scooby-Doo look, it's hard to feel like you're being stalked by anything evil, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, and you know, there were things, something like that in the beginning could have been terrifying for me. But right. I also learned the discernment of, okay, it startled me. And now I just go, you know, well played, guys. What's next?
And what's next, indeed. 19 years I've been visiting there. I don't think I've ever come to the Palmer House and not had something really interesting happen, at least if not to me directly, to some of the people that attend our events. And we get some remarkable photographic, recorded, and video proof of things. I know that Shane Sheets was there and caught, I think, one of the coolest, weirdest videos. He was out in the hall filming, right? And you see somebody standing in the door frame. It's a physical human being standing in the door frame, and all of a sudden you see this ghostly hand reach out and almost like it runs up the length of this person's leg, but the fingers are extraordinarily long and you can see through the hand, and then it just kind of dissipates. When you see something like that, even after all these years, how weird is that for you?
Oh, it never gets old. I mean, every time somebody presents new evidence to me, it's very exciting because I believe there's a lot of residual energy there, but I also believe there's a lot of unrealized things yet. And so it's always fun and exciting to see new evidence, however it presents.
The Palmer House Hotel is another haunted gem right here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. It's about an hour and a half away up in Sauk Center, Minnesota. If you've never had a chance to go, put it on your bucket list because they embrace the weird and the paranormal just like we do here at the Paranormal 360. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. This is your home for all things strange and supernatural. We are the Paranormal 360, Sunday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. Central. You can tune in. And if you've missed any part of our program, remember, you can also find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, because as soon as we are off the air tonight, the podcast will be available for you to listen to in its entirety. You can catch up on the last year, year and a half worth of episodes that are up. Just go to your favorite streaming device and look up Paranormal 360. The number's 360. Why 360? Because we are the most well-rounded paranormal program you're going to hear on the radio. All right, Kelly Fries is our guest this evening for the final hour of tonight's show. We're talking about one of my favorite places in Minnesota and in the world, to be honest with you. I've been to a lot of haunted locations, but the Palmer House is one that just keeps pulling me back in and bringing me back, because the strange things that take place, from full-on apparitions to shadowy figures, footsteps in empty halls, voices from empty rooms. I've never, like I said, been let down when I've come to the Palmer, and we've talked and joked around about it, Kelly. When I first visited, I was a little skeptical. You have a gift shop attached, right? It's kind of that old feeling of how haunted is it if it has a gift shop, right? And you walk me through the building, and I think of the 8 or 9 stops, I had things happen in broad daylight at 2 or 3 of them that were quite profound, from hearing things walk up to us in the basement, to lights starting to flicker as we talk, to standing in Lucy's room. And Lucy, again, one of your resident spirits, has kind of an interesting background in the fact that we don't have any actual evidence that Lucy existed or died in this building. But you have heard from multiple people over the years who came in without ever speaking to one another, didn't know one another. They would come in and tell you about the woman's ghost up in that room, and they would come up with the same name over and over again. You get that happening once or twice, that's kind of strange, but repeatedly, Kelly. And then you just decided to embrace it. This is the ghost of Lucy.
Well, I had no other explanation to offer. And again, just the repetitive nature of the same, you know, whether somebody would go, you know, number 17, and this woman, and it just all kept connecting.
And she walked me into that room and stood there talking to me about Lucy, and that this is the room I'm going to sleep in that night, and that, you know, just be aware, Lucy's not always so fond of men, so be respectful. And I kind of, and this was one of the only times I've been disrespectful in my career of investigations. And I remember kind of rolling my eyes and saying, well, tough toodles for you, Lucy. We're sharing a room tonight. You're stuck with me. And the door slams that I'm standing next to. And the two of us just looked at each other. And I remember you had that knowing smile on your face. And I was pretty close to needing a change of underwear.
I love those moments. I'm not going to lie.
Right. It's, I love hearing them, because you're like, oh, come on. How haunted is this place? And going in there and having these experiences for yourself and just being able to be a part of it. When did you decide to not only, you know, kind of accept the paranormal, but embrace it and use it as part of your charm for, you know, people coming to stay there? Were you worried that it would impact and freak people out? They wouldn't want to stay in a haunted hotel.
That was a real conversation my husband and I had. You know, as the interest kept growing, and it was just so organic and so word of mouth. It wasn't even anything I was marketing. You have to remember, going back that many years ago, there wasn't the internet, and there wasn't these cell phones with, you know, cameras right at your disposal for every minute of your day. And, you know, there was that conversation about, well, is this a good thing or a bad thing? And I just felt like, you know what, it is what it is. I can't explain it, but I can't deny it. And people seemed truly fascinated and truly interested. And I just felt like that wasn't something I could, with good conscience, withhold from somebody if the place I had was a place that people could come and explore and learn. And I felt that was more important than, you know, shutting it down, which every previous short-lived owner had done and denied its existence.
Do you believe that they got rid of the hotel and that it moved so quickly through people because of the haunting?
I honestly wonder that, Dave, and quite honestly, even in the beginning, I wonder for myself how much they were looking at me going, oh, geez, we just had some peace and quiet, and now here comes another one. And maybe they were trying to scare me away too, and maybe somebody else, it would have been enough to scare them away. And I was compelled and curious to want to just keep learning about it myself. So I stuck it out, and I feel like maybe they learned to trust me. And it's like they behave differently with me. I don't have scary moments. I have intimate, eye-opening, fascinating moments, but things don't happen that scare me anymore. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So did they, when you look back at them in retrospect now, did they scare you or did they just unnerve you because it was unexpected? Because there is a difference, right? Sometimes you can say, you know, people tell me, Dave, you go in all these haunted spots. Aren't you freaked out? I'm like, no, I'm going into a haunted location looking for this. So I'm a lot more accepting of what is about to happen. You know, if I'm just walking in the aisle of Walmart and things start flinging off the shelves at me, I'm certainly going to have a different reaction. Now that you look back at it, were you really frightened or just really kind of shocked by what was going on?
A combination. There's one, I'll say, of my unregistered guests, a gentleman who he seemed to be the one to test me the most in the beginning. And he, I just think he had a darker sense of humor, and I had to figure that out because I still feel like I encounter him at times, and I just handle it differently now. But there were times I came down the stairs three at a time in tears. I'm not going to lie in the beginning, but in hindsight, I go, yeah, it's quite startling. You can't deny that. So it's a fine line between, you know, fear and isn't that interesting?
Right. We're coming up close to the next break here, so I don't want to get too involved in a story. But when we come back, I'd like to hear a few of those moments that did shock you, that sent you running. And what else has happened to people that have come to stay there? I've heard the stories over the years. I've been there at events. And it's funny, isn't it? Because the level of fear factor for people are totally different. I've had people that will see a full-on apparition appear in their room, and they are excited and embrace it. I will have somebody demand to leave the hotel because there's something walking around in their room. They can hear the footsteps. They can feel something sit on the end of their bed, and that's enough to spook them out. So you never know what kind of experience you're going to have there, but you can pretty much guess that there is something unseen moving through the hallways of the Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota. Plus, it's got a really amazing history to it. And some big names that have been attached to this location that have come to visit the Palmer House and have spent time there. Sinclair Lewis, kind of a local homegrown author and hero. One of those names is his mural is on the backside of the Palmer House. He is buried right down the road. So much more to learn, and we'll do that next right here on the Paranormal 360. All right, imagine you go, you're staying in a quaint little boutique hotel in Minnesota. You've decided to stop in to take advantage of the great prices, the great little hometown feel, and suddenly you realize you're not alone in your room. Not in a creepy way, like there's, you know, cameras watching you from inside the teddy bear on the shelf. No, 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 it's something different. Specters and spirits of the past that refuse to check out and continue to remain as living undead residents right there in the Palmer House Hotel. That's been the story for many years. Now, this building, in the form that it's in, was rebuilt on the spot in 1901. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And before that, it was the Sauk Center House?
Correct.
And the Sauk Center House met an untimely demise, as many buildings did at that era, because of a fire, right?
Yes.
And the Palmer House carries some of the scars of the Sauk Center House and carries its own scars. And I, you know, scars aren't always horrible, bad things, folks, but you know, you have high emotion, you have sadness, you have happiness, you've got loss, and then just the people that come in and bring their own spiritual baggage to these locations, that might be an interesting place to start. You know, do you think that a lot of the activity that takes place there is necessarily the spirits of the Palmer, or do you think that that spot is so energized that maybe the spirits and the things that we carry with us every day without realizing it just have a better template to be seen and finally heard in the Palmer House?
You know, I've thought of that over the years as I witness a lot of guests coming there to have a Palmer House experience. And quite often what they end up having is a much more intimate personal experience with one of their own past loved ones. So whether it's a bit of a conduit in that way, you know, maybe the unregistered guests at the Palmer House can help these others that tag along with you.
Mm-hmm.
But better ways of revealing themselves. Or maybe it's just because the guest is coming there and they're sitting up and paying attention, and they're more open and willing to witness something. Maybe all of the above.
Maybe, yeah, a little bit of everything, right? As this haunting continues to unfold and grow. Do you think that it has become more haunted over the years because of the attention and because it's, you've basically turned the light on?
Honestly, yeah. You know, whether they're all getting better at letting us know they're there, or, you know, just the sheer volume of people that come there for that experience and what they bring to the table, whether that helps amplify. But it seems like there's a lot of residual, more common, almost predictable things that happen on a regular basis. But it seems like over the years, there's been more and more and more new stories that have revealed themselves too. And so that's fascinating. You know, she still has a lot to tell.
What are some of the instances that did have you coming down the stairs three at a time and in tears? Are you willing to share some of those?
Oh, sure. You know, even going back to when we, prior to buying it, and we kept going in to do walkthroughs of it. And, you know, long story short, walking into a room in the middle of the winter and it's covered in dead flies.
In the middle of winter?
In the middle of winter, yeah. And the door to the room was open, and yet there was not one single fly across the threshold into the hallway. It was only in the room. In hindsight, you think that may have been enough for me to say, I'm out, but...
Have you not watched horror movies, Kelly? Come on. Yeah. When there's flies, it's never good.
And I have, you know... There's times that I've had a pretty heavy touch by them, and that can be pretty unnerving when you're upstairs cleaning rooms and you're all by yourself. And you clearly know there's not another person there that did that. I used to take a walkie-talkie up to the room with me and leave one downstairs for the staff. Again, this was before there were cell phones and,
right.
And you know, they could, instead of trying to find me, they could just talk to me. And everybody decided it was a pretty good system until they were using it, and they kept hearing the same little girl talking to them that I would hear, which wow. I took no issue with. But yeah, I lost some housekeeping staff over that one.
I bet.
So, you know, a lot of things that, yeah, I'm not going to lie. There's times I left in tears.
And again, now that you look back at it, do you still have those kind of activities, but it's less fear? It's just more like, oh, they're just letting me know they're here.
Oh, I definitely now handle it completely different, where I acknowledge them and I just tell them, hey, you got my attention, but if you want more than that, you're going to have to figure out another way to convey it, because I'm not the girl that can, you know, communicate that way, but
right. And what are some of the more profound, weird experiences that some of your guests have had? Do you have many that check in at night when you come back in the morning, they're gone?
Oh yeah. We, you know, they're sleeping in the lobby. In the summer, they might be sleeping in their car. In the winter, they maybe went and got a room, down the street, and they come back in the morning to get their luggage. And again, you know, some of the stories they tell me, I kind of laugh and go, well, if this was your first visit here, maybe you should have started with having lunch. Because jumping right in and staying overnight and, you know, hearing people walking around above you when you know you were on the top floor, if that was enough to drive you out of the building, yeah, plan accordingly.
Very cool. Yeah, I that's kind of my love of hearing what is it that spooked somebody out of there. And I've talked to people that have been part of our events and they're like, you know, I don't mind investigating out there, but when it starts happening in my room, I want out. That's too unnerving. And some of the people that come year after year to our different events at the Palmer House, but will stay down the road because they're like, I don't mind it happening when I'm visiting the hotel. I don't want to be in my room and hear footsteps or things walking around. But again, nothing violent, nothing really dark in nature ever happens. It's just more shock and awe to people because, holy cow, this is real.
No, it's, you know, it's, quite frankly, you know, we probably have more problems with the living.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take our final break for this hour. We'll come back, talk a little bit more with Kelly Fries, and tell us a little bit about some of the ghosts by name that you know of, what kind of activity they have provided for people. And here's the big question. Is it just one or two rooms that are haunted at the Palmer House? Aside from what we always know is going to be haunted, the creepy basement of every old building, but what can people expect when they come there? And you, again, you embrace the paranormal. So people can come and be a part of historic and ghost tours. They can come out to live events that are hosted there almost monthly by some other paranormal personality that's bringing something to the table. So there's a lot of cool stuff going on. As a matter of fact, the cast of Paranormal Mysteries, Shane Pittman, Cindy Keza, and I will be back out there in May. You can find information on my website at darknessevents.com. Come on out and investigate with us. We'll be back with more right after this.
A vampire in Rhode Island?
A UFO crash in Connecticut?
A flying moose in Maine?
A haunted bridge that calls your name?
New England is weird.
Really weird.
Wicked Strange by Jeff Belanger and Frank Grace is your ticket to the bizarre. Ghosts, monsters, urban legends, and roadside oddities you won't believe until you see them.
So pre-order now on Amazon. It drops September 2nd.
Assuming the Black Dog of West Peak doesn't get you first.
Let's get strange.
Wicked Strange. Pre-order your copy now on Amazon.
Hey, folks, don't forget, I've got a new TV show out there. It's called Paranormal Mysteries. You can watch it on Stream Beacon TV. So use your smart device, look up Stream Beacon TV. If you subscribe, only $5 a month, it's your new home for paranormal, true crime, and horror programming. Third episode just aired this past Friday. Episodes 4, 5, and 6 coming up with our season finale, the 6th episode airing on Halloween night. So check it out. For more information, go check out streambeacontv.com. That's streambeacontv.com. All right, Kelly, let's get back into it and discuss some of the ghosts. We touched on Lucy a little bit earlier in the show. What do we know about Lucy from the history of the spirits that have come forward to talk about it, or Lucy herself?
The evidence that I have, you know, whether individuals or paranormal teams that have visited, again, it's pretty consistent. Her reluctance of sharing her room with men is, I think, a result of she wasn't treated well by men in the past. So I don't think she as much has an aversion to men as she does to disrespectful men. And, you know, whether I honestly think Lucy goes back to more of a time of Sock Center House, and there was a lot more traveling salesmen coming in on the train, and a different, more transient clientele than, you know, what we see today. And if she was a lady of the evening, that was right. A place for her. So she she oftentimes how people recognize her is by a scent. And even for the person that's like, I don't see things, I don't hear things, I don't know things, her scent is undeniable. And the closest thing we can compare it to is an old perfume that was called Love's Baby Soft. And so that's kind of fun. That makes her a lot more relatable and recognizable to people. We have several other players in the building. We have Annie, who has a tendency to want to hang around in room 11, gives her a view of the lake and seeing the where the railroad came in, and seeing her lover as he would come to visit and when he would leave. And we have another gal. Her name's Jacqueline. She has a tendency to show herself, literally present herself in room 12. She was more of what she would refer to as a chambermaid. And she's just there to take care of you and be attentive to you, nothing to be afraid of. Of course, not that waking up at night and having somebody standing at the foot of your bed isn't alarming in and of itself. She's very kind and friendly, and she wants to do nothing but be there for you and make sure you have a positive experience. So now that's a few of the players.
You talked about children and hearing giggling and voices. What can you tell us about the children's spirits?
My, you know, and what do I know? But my sense is that this isn't a horrible, tragic thing where a whole bunch of children died here. I think a lot of the paranormal activity are more visitations. And actually having the privilege of hosting a Palmer family reunion several years ago, and seeing old photo albums and old scrapbooks and talking to much more extended family than what I had met before, I actually believe the Palmer's son, Carlisle, he will present himself as the young boy that he was when he lived there with his family, when they built the Palmer house, and also, again, as the older gentleman that he grew up to be.
That's kind of weird too, isn't it? To realize that he didn't pass away as a child, but yet he presents himself as a child.
Right. And I often wonder, is he there all the time, or does he just pop in to visit, hoping to maybe run into the other children that were there? Hey, let's see what the place looks like. Yeah. It's a lot of fascinating perspectives with it. So yeah, the children are very common, mostly hearing them, but also being incredibly interactive. If that's the approach you're taking, is to communicate with the children, they seem really willing to do that and able.
If you haven't had a chance to go out and you want to start by going to a haunted location that's safe, that is accepting and open, then the Palmer House Hotel is definitely the stop for you. So I'm talking to you, Minnesotans, and I'm talking to you people around the world tuning into the live stream and checking out the podcast. Make it one of your bucket list destinations, because it never ceases to amaze me. Kelly, thank you for making the paranormal so accessible in such a remarkable way that people can come and investigate and learn and coexist with these spirits.
Well, after as many years as I've been there, I've really come to believe that was a whole purpose and series of events that led me there to be doing exactly what I ended up doing, even though I didn't see it coming.
A true calling. The Palmer House has never needed to prove it's haunted, my friends. Its stories, well, they speak for themselves. Footsteps where there should be none, the laughter of children long gone, a brush of cold air that feels almost intentional. It's not the ghosts that make the Palmer House unsettling. It's how easily it makes you believe in them. For Kelly Fries, this isn't a legend or a line in a book. It's her everyday life. And for those who've spent the night under its roof, you understand why some people come back. even when they swear they never would. I'm Dave Schrader. Thank you for spending your night with us, and we'll see you again next week right here on the Paranormal 360.